come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Anita Marks. This is Dave Deal, and it is Wednesday before Turkey Day. Man, can I just tell you that Thanksgiving has to be like my favorite day, like my absolute favorite day of the year.
And you got to remember the day after, leftover, the big mash, all the leftovers you put in one dish. Yeah, but you got to love Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody early. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving, and my daughter and I are looking forward to going over to one of my best friend's house for a feast because they own an Italian restaurant. So it's a mix. You have the turkey and everything, the stuffing, the sweet potatoes, the vegetables. You have all that.
Plus,
but then
got
on the
sides,
you've got the antipasta, the salad. Yeah, it's amazing.
I love it.
Amazing day.
I love it. So my family, we're half Jewish.
Okay.
So we celebrate everything. I mean, we celebrate Christmas. I mean, we're kind of like, I call myself kind of a religious mutt in a sense. So majority of Jewish people, the day after Thanksgiving, we go for Chinese and we go see a movie. So that's what I'll be doing.
Perfect.
On Friday in between, of course, shopping. But it is my favorite day of the year. Plenty of food, plenty of fun, friends, family,
football,
yeah,
it's
and
great.
Not just two, but now three games.
Yep.
And the first game, of course, we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles at Detroit. The second game, Carolina at Dallas. So two NFC East teams that will be playing on Thursday. So the Giants kind of already having an idea going into their game against Washington exactly where they stand in the division. Where right now we know that they're at the top, but where they stand in the division, and if they do win, because I do think Philadelphia loses to Detroit. I do think that Carolina beats the Dallas Cowboys. And if the Giants do defeat the Washington Redskins, like I do think they will, man, they're even in a better situation.
It is. It's a great situation for the New York Giants to be able to have that ability. But at the same token, it's about the Giants taking care of their own business on Sunday. Yes, you want the other teams in the division to lose, and it gives you the spring up. But more importantly, you know, just in the press conference live show, and we've been talking about it all season, is that the Giants team have to take care of business themselves. They can't rely on other teams to win, lose. Anytime that has happened in the Giants franchise, it has not played in the favor for the Giants to work out. So in this situation, in this circumstance, it's going to be a tough game going to Washington. The Redskins have played much better at home than they have on the road. Kirk Cousins has played looked like a completely different quarterback in Washington compared to where he's been in other places. So it's up to the Giants to go to Washington and prove who they are off of this bye. And you always talk about getting back off of a bye week, how important it is to start fast. You do not want to have that first quarter lull when you're going on the road facing this team who plays well at home.
No denying that. Now, again, want to remind you, this show, well, it's for Giants fans. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get into the show. Also, we'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. If you've got a question or a comment, by all means, hit us up, and that is hashtag Giants Chat. So before we do hit the phone lines, I always like to look back. You have Tom Coughlin, who had his press conference earlier today, and some interesting things that he had to say. You mentioned it. This is a Washington team. They're better at home than they are on the road. Lost to Carolina last week. 12th against the pass. Yeah, I mean, your thoughts on how much success you think Eli Manning's going to have against this Washington Redskins defense on the road?
I think it's very important for them to establish a ground game. I think that's where they can open up things in their offense. I think this is where the Giants' offense has to start moving forward, especially in these months. November, we're towards the end of it already. December, if the Giants are looking to have the second half spring that they need for these next six games, where people are saying, oh, well, it can go back to the same way in 2011. This is where the running game picked up. This is where the team picked up speed. It's got to start in the ground game. On the defensive side of the ball, it's getting after a quarterback. put the game in Kirk Cousins' hands. This is where JPP has come back, and it's provided that spark that this defense has needed. We'll see who else that it helps with their production, whether it's Ayers, whether it's hopefully, which everybody's still been waiting for, DeMontre Moore. Another person has to step up and provide that production on the ability to affect quarterbacks. And when that happens, that's what puts teams in third and long, to help out the secondary, to help out the safeties. Hopefully fully back Prince this week, so that you have DRC on one side, Prince on the other side, which allows Steve Spagnuolo in this scheme to be more aggressive. Also, JT Thomas. This is a linebacker that the Giants need back, not only in his run-stopping abilities, but the Washington Redskins are going to do a lot of different things to try flipping and getting matchups with Jordan Reed, their tight end, up against linebackers.
But keep in mind, he's dealing with a knee injury.
Well,
that's been
the whole question with Jordan Reed. His entire career is his durability.
He retweaked it this past week against Carolina. So I really got to pay attention to I like Roto World. I think Roto World is kind of one of the best in the business in regard to updating you on which players practiced, who didn't, who was limited. I'm really going to keep an eye on that, because as we know, that's one of the weaknesses of this Giants defense, is the linebacking core being able to cover tight ends that are athletic, that are a big part of the passing attack. And Jordan Reed is one of those guys. So keep an eye. There's a chance. I don't know, if he doesn't practice, maybe he's going to be a game time decision. Maybe he doesn't go against the Giants this week.
They would have to rely on Carrier and other guys who are nowhere near the type of receivers at that tight end position that Jordan Reed is. And you know, when you're facing a Jay Gruden offense, it thrives on play-action passes. Every once in a while, they'll take a shot downfield, but that's not their game plan. They haven't had that game plan into their packages yet, because DeSean Jackson not playing as much as he has this season. And this is a time that we're going to see, with a Garcon and a Jackson, how will this secondary be able to hold up, especially at the safety position, because there can't be any more communication breakdowns. Here we are. We're heading already into week 12. That's one of the things that has to be shored up, because it could be a mistake on the front end. If you have a missed tackle or gap discipline, it could be one thing. But on the back end, miscommunications, broken coverages, I mean, those are the things that kill you in games, especially in a division game as important as this one.
All right, just to bring you up to speed on players who are not practicing today, that is Larry Donnell, Mark Herzlich, and Justin Pugh. Other than that, really exciting news that Prince Amukamara is back at practice and is expected to play, as well as DeMontre Moore, who's been dealing with a hamstring issue, Weston Richburg with an ankle, Jeff Schwartz with an ankle, JT Thomas with an ankle, and Unga with a neck. So all of them are practicing. Again, the only three not practicing today that Tom Coughlin had told us about, Larry Donnell, Mark Herzlich, and Justin Pugh. Let's head out to our phone lines.
Let's do it.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, Anita Marks and David Deal. We kick it off line three with Kenny calling in from New Jersey. Kenny, welcome in.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hi, Anita. Hi, David. Happy holidays to you.
You as well, Kenny. Happy Thanksgiving.
I would like to see, I have just a really quick question. I would like to see, and if it's at all possible, Shane Vereen getting more short passes in the red zone, particularly within the 5-yard line. I read an article earlier this week or earlier today, I don't remember, saying somewhat that he's been targeted 3 times within the 5-yard line, and all 3 of them were touchdowns. I feel like maybe that'll give us a little bit of a red zone boost. Maybe with like some 2-back sets with Vereen and Darkwa, so they don't know exactly what's happening.
A great point, because that was one of the things, looking back, if you go back to that New England game, that was one of the things that you were hoping that you would see more. I understand he was a former Patriot, but that still doesn't mean that you get him involved in the screen game and get him his touches. One of the other big questions that has been asked all season, and that hopefully we'll see if it is addressed this week, is it going to be a 4 running back committee, or are they going to break down and go finally to 3 running backs? And I think that's going to be a big factor moving forward here for this Giants offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to know the stat. I know game wise, Williams has the most carries, I guess, per game. But I feel like every time they put him in, man, the drive just stalls. It just As a fan, that's how I feel. I'm not sure what his numbers are because I haven't really looked into it, but I've noticed that when we put him in, it seems like, you know, the ball's going up the middle, you know, and that's not really good, especially in the red zone, and I feel like we'll have more touchdowns if we utilize that short passing game to some of our pass-catching running backs and you know, put up touchdowns instead of field goals.
Kenny,
but, that's all I got. Thanks for taking my call.
Kenny, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and thank you so much for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I want to ask you about the running back situation, okay? Typically, there's only, a handful of teams out there that have, like, that cowbell that's going to rush the ball 25, 30 times.
And be able to sustain it throughout an entire season.
And stay healthy and all that.
Yep.
Then you've got really the majority of teams in the NFL now use that kind of that 1-2 punch, you know, like Ronnie Hillman, C.J. Anderson, and now you got Eddie Lacy and James Starks.
Bernard Hill in Cincinnati,
And Giovanni Bernard, exactly. So, but here with the Giants, it's a unique situation because you've got four. And I honestly, I want to see more Darkwa. It's just me. I like what I've seen when he runs. I like his vision. I like his aggressiveness. I enjoy watching him run the football. But, you know, you've got to give your due to Jennings. You've got to give your due to Andre Williams. You definitely got to give your due to Shane Vereen because of the way that he accentuates the passing attack. But here's my question to you. How much of a negative is it that when you've got four different talented backs in that backfield that you're alternating series or every two series, it's hard for a running back to kind of get into a vibe, get into a zone, get into a rhythm, right?
You've got a fever and the only cure is more Darkwa.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. No, but it is.
More it's, cowbell.
Yeah, bring out
like
the cowbell.
It.
But
I
no,
like
I understand exactly because – you have to let a running back get into a flow of a football game.
Right.
And when there's a constant change and there's a constant switch, each and every series presents something different than the series before. And if you haven't actually gone through it and you've only seen it by watching on the sideline or looking at it on the tablet on the sideline, it doesn't do it for you. That's like you always hear from defensive ends. You can't just go out there and attack – and get after the quarterback without playing and setting up things in the run up against an offensive tackle. It's the same thing when it comes to a running back. They've got to get into a flow of the game. They've got to get into what they feel is best and how to effectively attack an opposing defense. And for me, I'm with you. If I was to do anything, it would be Jennings, Vereen, and Darkwa, plain and simple.
But these are some tweets. Mind you, hashtag Giants chat. We're monitoring throughout the show. This is from Alice Spear 1. Not just you, Anita. I think we all want to see more Darkwa.
See, he wants the cow. Break out the cowbell. Let's go.
This is from Dwayne, and he says, Eli bum rushes the MVP convo starting Sunday. Let's go.
I
mean,
that's a hard one.
That's a hard one to bum rush because you've got Cam Newton, who's just playing insane football right now. Obviously, Tom Brady, who really was put to the test against the Buffalo Bills, by the way, on Monday night.
But I think this is a time that Eli can even press himself and move himself up, not only statistically wise, but what he can do for this football team. Number one, one of the things that I love about Eli Manning, you know each and every Sunday he is going to be out on the football field. Last week, I covered the Eagles game. Bradford hurt. Sanchez is in. I'm asking questions about their third stringer, Thad Lewis, just in case something happens. This week, I've got the Saints at Texans. We all saw the controversy they had in Houston this year. All different quarterbacks, a rotation. That's something that you never have to worry about and focus on when it comes to the New York Giants because you know he is going to be there each and every Sunday. And the other thing that he does, he gets the best out of each and every one of his players. His control of this offense now, his ability to check things at the line of scrimmage, to put this offense in a favorable position to make plays and do big things, I think the addition of Hakeem Nicks, it may not be just this game, but moving forward is really going to help this offense because, number one, he has that trust factor in Hakeem. He knows that he can go up and get jump balls. But it also spread things around between Reuben Randall, Dwayne Harris, so that Odell Beckham Jr. can get those one-on-one matchups so that he can continue to have this streak of 100-yard games and get those things so that this offense can just flourish. But having said that, the most important thing that they have to do is they've got to establish a ground game. They have to continue to do that moving forward so that this offense doesn't become one-dimensional. I understand it is a pass first to set up the run, but in December, you've got to be able to wear down defenses in the third and fourth quarter, which will open up everything for this team.
Want to remind you, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And just to tie that into your game that you're doing, you've got Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
On DraftKings for only $5,000 to stay under that $50,000 roster. He's my big play this week. Brian Hoyer against the Saints. You're covering the game. Would you would you play him on DraftKings?
You know, it's interesting to see how will the Saints defense respond. Rob Bryan fired. They're coming off of a bye.
Allen's in there.
Dennis Allen is
He's a blitz maniac.
He is a blitz maniac.
What happens when you live by the blitz?
You die by the
blitz. That's right, baby.
So it's going to be interesting. But also, DeAndre Hopkins, the way he played last
Unbelievable.
Week against Revis.
Isn't it amazing the numbers that DeAndre Hopkins is putting up with what quarterbacks?
Most targeted wide receiver in the NFL.
Sick.
And he's done it with four different quarterbacks.
I know.
Insane.
Could you imagine him on this offense playing opposite Odell Beckham Jr.? Oh, my gosh. Let's just call it a day.
Okay.
Anyway, but you didn't answer my question. Would you play Brian Hoyer for $5,000 on DraftKings?
Depends on which Brian Hoyer you're going to get out there on Sunday. But, yeah, that's one that you could play.
Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to AJ calling in from South Carolina. AJ, welcome in.
I'm excited for coming back this Sunday.
Okay, AJ, thank you for the
phone
call.
Thank you, AJ. I think every Giant fan is excited to have Prince back because it provides those two cornerstones outside where they can play press man, where they can do things. Prince is playing very well. That pec looks, and they say it's completely healed up. He'll be ready to go.
Is he going to have to play with some kind of protection?
I don't know. That's what they're going to have to look at today when they're out in practice because this is the first time that they're in pads since then. So that's something that you'll have to check. But it opens up more things and for Steve Spagnuolo and for this defense to do. But it all starts with the ability to attack a quarterback. That's what opens up everything. If you can do it with four, then you can play coverage, you can blitz, you can do other things. And that's what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do. He wants to make each player on the defense that an offense is accountable, that they can blitz, that they can do different things and keep this as a dynamic team.
All right, let's go to Charles calling in from New Mexico. Charles, you're up.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you guys. Hey, a couple questions. Hey Dave, love you. Go Big Blue.
But, love you too, Charles.
Since the new bargaining agreement came out, do you think that maybe that has something to do with the rash of injuries that are going on through the league, that maybe these guys ain't getting in there training enough? I mean, over the last few seasons, man, we've just been decimated. It's amazing how many guys get banged up every week. I mean, not just our team. I know it's the NFL. But do you think that has anything to do with it?
Absolutely. It definitely has something to do with it. It's no coincidence that, you know, starting off early in these NFL seasons, that it's a slow start. You're not watching the quality of play that you want to see. And number one, the people that it hurt the most are the rookies and the young players that have to come in, try to learn an offense or a defense, assimilate to it quick, and to be able to do it with only essentially one padded practice a day. But the other thing, you have to get used to hitting. You have to be able to get used to your body being worn down, but to still have the durability for it. You know, I remember training during the summer, and I would grind because I would think to myself, if I don't do this, there's going to be no way that I can sustain and get through two practices in training camp, let alone my body hold up. Now it's almost to the point where you could work hard, but you could be like, you know what? I can get through one practice a day. It's only one practice. The other one's a walkthrough. It's a different mentality, and I think it definitely has caused more injuries than it has helped.
Don't you think, you know, kind of it's one of those situations where be careful what you wish for. On the surface, this looks like a great thing in regard to less practices, less contact.
Of course.
But then, you know, the way that it has played out, and let me tell you, it's not just the Giants. I mean, look across the board.
All across
Devontae
the board.
Freeman, Charcandrick West. We talked about Reed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, heck, look what happened with the Baltimore Ravens this week, and Joe Flacco and Justin Forsett.
And the other thing is,
gosh,
if you looked at the board for the Players Association when it was happening, it was a Jeff Saturday. It was a Charlie Batch. They were all veterans that were in their 9th, 10th, 11th years in the league. Yeah, of course they're going to try to bargain down to get less for the players. But you got to remember that this is a league that there's no minor league. There's no NFL Europe. There's none of that stuff to develop players. So you've got to give those players the ability, the opportunity to become who they can become.
We have Lestat, who is tweeting to us from France. He says, hello from France. Just watching you live, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, and let's go Big Blue.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Let's go to Kevin in New York. Kevin, welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's up? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We hear you loud and clear, Kev.
Hey, I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving, first of all, and a happy holidays to you guys.
Thanks. Same to you, my man.
Hey, I just wanted to make a few points here real quick. The first thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, just in our offense, you know, our big plays. You know, I felt like, you know, against the Patriots when, you know, Eli Manning had time to throw the ball, you know, when he did, you know, we had a lot of big plays. Like, we had, you know, big plays. Reuben Randle, obviously Beckham with the big touchdown catch. You know, Kevin White even made a couple nice catches. You know, Ty made a few big catches. Do you think that this will open up the playbook a little bit more, and against, you know, the last six games, we'll have those more big plays instead of just relying, you know, on those quick slants, curls, whatever it may be? Do you think we'll have more big plays?
I mean,
down the field?
I believe that's why they made that move, is to open up things and his flexibility. But, you know, the thing, like I said, is it may not happen now. Down the stretch is where we'll really see if this Hakeem Nicks signing actually pays off. This is going to be a big week, getting acclimated, getting back on the football field. You know, Coach Coughlin said he's going to be out there running scout team stuff, getting reps. But the other thing is understanding and getting a grasp of this offense, because it is so much different than what Kevin Gilbride ran when Hakeem Nicks was here. So I definitely think that's the case, is that they're hoping that with these four wide receivers that it provides that spark to open up things deep, to get those big gash plays, those home run plays, that if you can do that and you can start getting people not playing eight in the box, it will open up things in the run game.
So, but how do you – so, I'm sorry,
I'm
go
sorry
ahead.
To interrupt, go ahead. No, I just wanted to say, and the final point I wanted to make was on, you know, as far as regarding our defense, you know, I think Jasper Brinkley has played really well. You know, he's forced a couple fumbles. And, you know, he's been playing good coverage. But, you know, especially with the return, you know, of Mukamara, and our pass rush has been stepping up. You know, do you think that, you know, I know, you know, Spags has been blitzing a lot on third down, you know, this year. And sometimes, you know, we haven't been getting there as a pass rush. And, you know, seems to be getting, I don't know if this stat's true, but I think we're, you know, up in the league and giving up third down conversions. Do you think, you know, with Prince being healthy, you know, Spags is going to blitz more, you know, because, I mean, DRP has been playing great, man, because, you know, he's always been a great man coverage corner. And Prince, you know, prides himself on playing press. So, you know, I'm not even worried about them being healthy. But do you think our pass rush on third down can get there now with, obviously, the return of JPP and, you know, players stepping up and, you know, building up momentum, especially the last two games, especially against the Patriots with three sacks?
Well, if you're a Giants fan, you better not think. You got to hope, because right now this Giants defense is 32nd in the league right now against the pass, giving up 309 yards a game. And it does. It comes down to the ability to attack and get after a quarterback with your front four, not having to do it every single time with adding a pressure, adding a blitzer. And I think that's been the proven that we've seen out of Steve Spagnuolo's team. If you go back up to 2007, I'm not saying that we have the Justin Tuck, the Justin Tuck, the Michael Strahan, the O.C. Umanura. I think that is a much better group as a whole, but I think that they can still find ways to win matchups up front, moving people around, getting JPP, if he can do it because of his hand, in different positions, and move him along the defensive line to create those one-on-ones. Because if you go back and watch that New England game and you watch their defensive line, Jones wasn't only over the left tackle. They had him over the left tackle. They had him over the left guard. They moved him over to the right guard. They were doing things with him to try finding him that one-on-one matchup in any way possible to get pressure and to be able to get that quarterback off of his mark.
But how many defensive linemen, defensive ends are that talented, okay, that you can do that, that you can put them anywhere on the defensive line? Because obviously there are many out there that are stronger from one side of the line as opposed to the other.
But it is. It's much different. It's not like you're moving an offensive lineman from one side to the other. You're doing it to create a matchup who's somebody who's quicker, that can use a pass rush move up against a slower, tighter, in-the-box offensive guard. It actually plays to the advantage of that defensive end or defensive player to be able to move to different spots. And it's not like you're changing around your complete philosophy of a game. It's what you're doing is they're doing it to get you in a position to win.
Right. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Big Blue Kickoff Live. By the way, this is from Big Ego Media. He says, Dave and Anita out here looking like they're going to go party with Bruce Wayne. LOL, go Giants. today's a little different. Wednesday is typically a more casual day because Thursday is the day that we shoot a lot of our TV programs. But since tomorrow is Thanksgiving, we're shooting all our TV programs today. So that's why we're looking dapper.
Yep.
Right?
It's not a problem. We look great.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Thank you, I know.
It's a little different today. But hey, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. So and everybody needs to have off. Even though I'm not going to be off. I'm actually hosting Sports Talk Radio from 1 to 4. But and that's going to be a hoot. Hopefully I'll limit the wine in between the breaks. I think I better do that because I might get in trouble.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Lynn calling in from Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome.
Doing well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. It's always a great holiday. You know, it'd be nice to just, you know, sit around for the next couple of weeks, or a couple of more weeks, I should say, and watch our competition lose games and not have to play. But, hey, we got 6 games left, and it all starts Sunday with Washington. And it's going to be a tough one. I hope some of the senior leadership on the team can remind some of the younger guys that, and David, you can speak to this, I'm sure, it's an NFC East game, and the division might be a little off this year, but in terms of the physicality and the toughness, wow. It's tough to find another division where these division games, particularly late in the season, don't have a physical edge to them. And I think this is going to be a very, very physical game on Sunday. I think the Redskins will try to bring it, and hope the Giants can match it. Hope they can match the physicality. David, can you say anything about the physical nature of the East?
No question. You brought up a perfect point for this football game because – going into this game, you know, number one, how important it is for both of these teams to get this win. Because the Giants only have, after this, one division game left. The Washington Redskins have 4. So they know that they need to start stacking wins in the division if they want to take over the NFC East. But also, going into these games, you know it is going to be a heavyweight fight. You know it's about the symbol on the side of your helmet, not on the one and the name on the back of your jersey because of the long tradition, history, and rivalry amongst these teams. I mean, I can remember going to Washington and hearing their rowdy fans getting into it right behind your bench and feeling it. So you know it's going to be a tough game, and you know that the Washington Redskins are going to come out swinging because – they've done that at home, and they know that they need to do that. And it's going to be important for the Giants to start on the defensive side of the ball to stop the run and put this game in Kirk Cousins' hands and put the pressure on him to win it.
You know, something I always remember about this matchup, particularly when it's in Washington, David and Anita, is that awful game in 1966. It still bugs me, David. And this is the 50th anniversary weekend. It was a Thanksgiving weekend also where the Redskins laid 71 points on us and literally ran it up at the end with Sam Huff leading the way and Otto Graham coaching. And I'll never forget the Redskins scoring 71 points on it, even if it's 50 years ago. Hey, David, let me just make one comment if I can.
Okay.
and Anita, I hope you can comment on this, too.
Sure.
You know, I kind of agree with your feeling about the CBA and the effect that it's had on injuries. I want to say the players have a responsibility here, too. You know, I just want to throw out two names, Kerry Wynn, Marcus Kuhn. Not great players. I mean, we're not talking about great players here, but the one thing that you know, starting way back in March and April, Dottino and John and everybody else on the show, including Anita, were commenting how these guys were around since early February. You know, I know you got to let your body kind of catch up with your mind, and the body takes a terrible beating. But, you know, these guys, you know, they have to prepare, too. And I'm not sure you can do that in 7 months, David. I mean, I don't think you can. You take your 2, your 3 weeks off, and then you get back into it. Slowly but surely, you work your way into it. I just think players have a responsibility to kind of take better care of themselves in all aspects of their life than they're doing. David, can you comment on that?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely a part of it. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be pretty much healthy and start 164 games in my career, and it's a year-round thing that you have to take care of yourself. You have to take care. But when it comes to certain injuries, especially hamstrings, torn muscles, it's a product of not being able to be fit and have that durability and get the max amount of reps that you can get so that your body gets built up to be able to understand, absorb, and get that muscle memory that you need to recover. Yeah. So I agree with you to that extent. But then if you go back to it, those guys have been here in February, March, April. Even in April, when they're here training during the offseason, if Eli Manning wanted to go out to the practice facility and throw with the wide receivers, even if there was no coach there, he can't do it.
Yeah, he can't do it.
He has to go to a field where it could be a crappy environment, where the field could be absolutely terrible, where somebody can twist an ankle, hurt a knee, do something, and they have to do it away from their facility and right in their backyard where they can get the treatment and get everything that they need on a surface that's perfect. It shouldn't happen
that
way.
Hey, one more quick thing. Richburg's having a terrific year, and I know he's a little banged up, may not play on Sunday. I want to throw out a kudo to Dallas Reynolds, who stepped in there. I mean, he's a veteran guy coming off the bench. Again, we're not talking Pro Bowl player, but this guy went out there and did a pretty good job against the Patriots. And, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to see if Richburg gets back and can play. I hope so. To use Reynolds at guard if Pugh can't play. We're not talking – this is – veteran leadership coming off the bench. This guy against the Patriots seemed to be ready to step in. I know there were some early mix-ups on snaps and so forth, but the guy's a pro. I think he prepares to play the game, and I wouldn't be afraid to put. I want Pugh and Richburg. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not too nervous about Dallas Reynolds stepping on the field and playing some downs for us.
To go along with that, I know Dallas because he was here when I was a player. He's been around. He is a smart, experienced player who's learned this offense very well. He is a center. He's not a guard. So to move him outside to the guard position would be a big adjustment to him, and I wouldn't do that. But not to mention, the one person you failed to mention, John Jerry played extremely well in that New England game. And I watched every game, coaches' copies, live copies of last season. At the end of last year, John Jerry was the best offensive lineman in this group, hands down. So for him to be able to step in and play guard in place of Pugh and play the way that he did against the Patriots, that's a great sign. But your best bet is to have Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg because they're the down the bow, center of the pocket, right at Eli's feet where you cannot give up that pressure and have people where Eli's thrown off of his back foot.
Just a quick note here. While we're hosting, the Giants players are practicing right now. A number of the beat reporters that are out there watching practice says that Richburg actually looks pretty well, that he's moving pretty well. So that's positive news.
He's a tough kid.
Send us your tweets, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Jeff. He says, will the Giants name a defensive captain now that Beeson is on IR? If so, who?
It's a great question.
Who would you name?
Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
I like it.
He's the veteran. He's the one making the most plays for that defense.
I like it. I like it.
And he's sometimes vocal, but he plays.
Bless you.
And does it all by the way he physically goes out and plays. It doesn't have to always be the guy who's the rah-rah guy. He goes out and performs and does it week in and week out.
This is from Will. He says, Kirk Cousins is 0-5 when he throws a pick. So stop the run, play mistake-free football on offense and special teams.
Simple recipe.
Right? Only it was that simple.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Let me ask you, I think we have. We've talked about the trend in regard to the quarterbacks that the Giants have faced.
No.
Have we?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, when you talk about the wins and the losses.
Yeah.
The difference in quarterbacks, yes.
Yeah. I mean, but it's unbelievable. So the losses that the Giants have experienced.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady.
Tony Romo, Matt Ryan, Sam Bradford, Drew Brees, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Where the Giants have won.
Well, you could put that Bradford one on the Eagles' defense, not on Sam Bradford.
Yeah, the Eagles had they had a good game plan that game. For the win, Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor, Colin Kaepernick, and Matt Cassel, and Jameis Winston.
Okay? Big difference.
Big difference. Now look at the quarterbacks moving forward. Okay, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton. That's the only negative.
Teddy
Bridgewater, who I really like, Teddy Bridgewater, but like no bells and whistles. He's not throwing for over 350 yards and 3 touchdowns each week.
He has Adrian Peterson behind him. He does not have to do that each and every week.
And then they end with the Eagles, who apparently word out of Philadelphia is that Sam Bradford is healthy, but Chip Kelly has not come to the forefront to say that he's starting. There's a chance that he might go with Mark Sanchez, so you might get either Sam Bradford or Mark Sanchez in that final game of the season. So I think even though this is a tough schedule for the Giants moving forward, David, in regard to defenses, okay? Washington minus last week, coming up 5 touchdown passes to Cam Newton. Every now and then, they do show up and play good defense. The Jets defense, Carolina's defense, the Vikings defense. And the Eagles defense, of course, let them down in a big way, even Jameis Winston. How about this for an interesting stat? Last week, both Jameis Winston and Cam Newton passed for exactly 246 yards. They both threw 5 touchdowns, and every touchdown went to a different player.
Yeah, crazy.
So they had 5 different receivers, each of them.
And the Bucs had Doug Martin run for 251 yards. It was unreal. And like I said, I covered that game to see how Jameis Winston has developed into who he is. He's looking off defensive backs. He's not scared to throw the check down or throw the football away. He's playing smart, sound football.
Well, let's continue with your calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. We go to Miguel. He's calling in from Phoenix. Miguel, welcome in.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing excellent. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to know how Oa's looking. I know he's not coming back till week 17, but I figured maybe at some point this season he could get under JPP, you know, get some moves down. We could see something pretty interesting. If we do make it into the playoffs, maybe he plays in the playoffs. And, you know, I want to see how he's doing and what you guys have any news on him.
That's a great point, and this is a time where he can get back healthy, develop, and get those secondary moves. But at the same time, you could look great and be a scout team All-American. It's a completely different thing when you're out on the football field playing up against an opposing team and you're going not knowing whether it's a run or a pass or having that inexperience that he has as a young player. But this is a time where he can develop, where he can do those things, and you can sit back, observe, and learn on how to become a better football player.
Let's go to line 2. James is calling in from the Bronx. James, you're up.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? This is James.
Hey,
hi.
James. How are you, buddy?
All right. I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to call real quick, I guess, about Akiem Nicks. And I just find it funny that when he, you know, when he first left the team, before people were saying, oh, you know, he'll never come back, and he just left with such a bad note. I'm just really happy that he's back. And I guess my question would be, how is it that, like, you know, how can he regain his form? And it's like, is it over for him as far as being, you know, a stud number one wide receiver?
It's a great question, and I think that's going to be the answer question or that's
going to
be answered this season based on his performance, because this is probably his last opportunity to show who he is as a football player by all by his ability but to come back to and play.
But to say that he's going to deliver...
No, like I said, it's going to take some time, but still, this is his last opportunity. He didn't get picked up until just last week, and
right. There
is a reason. And as a veteran player, when you get your opportunity, you've got to maximize it, because if you don't, what are they going to do? Somebody younger, cheaper, and who they can develop into who they want them to be.
But what do you, like, I envision his role is the number four on this roster, because you do have Odell. Dwayne Harris has really balled out this year.
Yep.
And Reuben Randall. So I look at Hakeem Nicks as the number four, and I look at him more of a
red zone threat, a possession guy.
Receiver. Yeah. Possession receiver.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's not going to tear the top off. He's not going to do that like he has in the past, but he still knows and how to recognize defenses, how to get open, how to sit in the pocket of coverages and to find that niche. But it's all for him. This is all going to be based on performance for him. I mean, that's basic.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Rudy calling in from New York. He wants to talk about Eli. Rudy, welcome in.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Rudy.
Great.
Rudy.
Yeah,
how's it going, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks. All right, so I just have a couple of quick points. I won't keep you guys long. I don't get to call often, but, you know, I just want to say a couple of quick things. First of all, happy Thanksgiving. I won't be able to see you guys.
Same to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Rudy.
Thank you. All right, so before I get to Eli, let me say that first. I'm kind of a little bit annoyed with some of our Giants fans. You guys probably don't get it much on the calls. I try to listen to the show as much as I can, but a lot of the Giants fans that I've spoken to, you know, they keep saying, oh, Eli's done, he's over with, you know, he doesn't help us anymore, you know, he's messing up the game, blah, 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 bad clock management,
messing up the game, that's funny.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm looking at our quarterback and I'm thinking to myself, would I rather have Eli Manning or, I don't know, a Tony Romo who's never taken us to the big game? Would I rather have Eli Manning or an RG3 who's done? You know what I mean? Everyone's comparing, you know, he can't run, he can't do this, he can't take, you know. He's the one that's pretty much controlled the game for us and taken us, you know, brought us back to wins when we needed him to. He's controlled the game the best, especially this year. I think he's playing the best ball he's ever played. You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's showing face this year. You know what I mean? And I'm a huge Eli fan, but I think this year he's played the best ball he's played in a long time, especially under this new system. He's only had 2 years under it, and he's killing the game.
To go along with you, Rudy, the one thing I'll say, whether it's this year, even though I'm not a player, when I played and blocked for Eli for 10 seasons, if it got down to the fourth quarter, we had a two-minute drive. With Eli Manning with our quarterback, I had no doubt that we had a chance to win
Absolutely. That
football game.
Absolutely.
In this
Absolutely.
System, he has this down cold. You can see him make the checks. You can see him make the alerts. You can see him make the audibles. You can see him pulling guys off to the side, putting them in the right position, telling them what to expect next, and to do all those things at his capability and his level, and to have to do it for an entire offense, it says a lot about him. Number two,
exactly.
Durability. What other quarterback in the NFL right now is doing what he is doing? You look at teams across the board like the Houston Texans, like the Eagles. Everybody's having problems at the quarterback position. You have a franchise quarterback that you know each and every Sunday he's going
He'll
to be prepared,
there.
He's going to be ready, and he is going to give your team the best opportunity to win. And the last thing I will say is, like I said, blocking for him for 10 seasons. As an offensive line, myself, Soibert, Snee, O'Hara, McKenzie, we're all smart, offensive-minded guys. We knew our offensive system. We all sat in rooms and in the same room and broke down film together. And we used to have a competition at the line of scrimmage to see if we could identify something and make a call to change a protection or slide a protection or do something against the blitz. And Eli would beat us every single time at recognizing it. We would not be able to blurt it out before Eli would be alert, and put us into the right thing. And that was 10 straight seasons. He beat us every single time. That's all enough said.
Let me ask you something. Like, in regard to durability, Is it just, you know, great genetics?
He's a warrior.
Is it the fact that he plays heads up football? He knows when to go down, when not to kind of push for that extra yard. Is it the way that he does take care of himself in the offseason? Like what is it that that allows him to be so durable? I mean, because look,
accountability.
There are guys out there that just like Sam Bradford, yeah. For example. You know, Kiko Alonso. Like, there's just guys out there that just. And again, is it a matter of genetics that they just cannot stay healthy?
Think about the year when he hurt his foot throwing in Kansas City. Other quarterbacks would have gotten surgery and would have pulled themselves out. He stuck to it and played. There is a toughness and a durability and a warrior mentality that Eli Manning has that gets thrown to the wayside because he's that cool, calm, demeanored football player.
Right.
But he is all about accountability, and he is a guy who practices what he preaches. For him, it's about being on the field every single opportunity. And that's not just on Sundays. And that's in practice. When receivers would be out, Eli would be the first one going up to him, you need to practice. You need to practice. And the only way that he could do that is doing it himself and practicing what he preaches. And it's a credit to him. And he takes care of himself. I had to stop into the facility yesterday. On the day off, he's in here working out in the weight room, getting things done. That's the type of person that he is, and he takes a lot of pride in having that durability as a quarterback that, you know what, you can be accountable to me, and I'll be accountable to you, and I'm going to prove it to you.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. And a reminder that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Another good play I like this week on...
Oh, I love your plays. I love Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I just love fantasy
football. I know.
Another big play that I like this week is TJ Yeldon, running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
He's $4,800 going up against San Diego. San Diego, the Chargers, giving up the most fantasy... Fantasy football points to running backs.
I know.
$4,800. That is a steal for TJ Yeldon.
It's a great play. But you know what, though? When you have those things, you always have to be wary about those games. You know, when you have a team, oh, man, they gave up 200 yards on the ground, and then the next week they give up 75, and it's like, well, what happened? They saw what happened to them the week before, and they were going to do everything that they possibly could to shut it down. But, you know, the San Diego team is a team that knows that they can rely on their quarterback and Phillip Rivers to try putting up as many points as possible.
Yeah. You had Charkhandrick West. I call him Shar-Shar. 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 Yeah. So Shar-Shar went down. Spencer Ware came in, and he rushed for like 90-something yards, yep. and then he was a big part of the passing attack. So hopefully, if you do own West in fantasy, he's dealing with a hamstring issue. Hopefully it's not serious, and he's back. If not, I highly recommend you pick up Ware off the waiver wire. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steven calling in from Florida. Steven, welcome in. Happy Turkey Day to you.
Hey, happy Turkey Day. How's everything, man?
Great.
Happy Thanksgiving, Steven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was listening to y'all. Y'all doing an outstanding job, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, I was just calling in regards with Hakeem Nicks being back. I think it's going to be a triple threat. I got a lot of I didn't realize down here in Florida we got a lot of Big Blue, and a lot of people are coming up to me telling, oh, Hakeem Nicks can't do this, can't do that. But I really do believe that with them two guys on the field, it's going to be an outstanding outstanding play.
That's the thing that I know that's why the Giants signed him, is that ability to open up things in their playbook to get another threat out on the field that forces players and the defense to play honest. But like I said, I don't think it's going to be this huge emergence right away, but I think down the stretch that it can be very pertinent because he can open up things. He can create those one-on-ones, especially in the red zone, that we know Eli Manning has confidence in him. It's all just going to be based on him getting acclimated and learning this offense.
All right, so as we know, the Giants are coming off of a bye, and it was the last bye week. Keep that in mind. Week 11 was the last bye week.
Yep.
You always want the bye week, at least from what I understand, from what players have told me. You want it to come midway through the season. But and follow me here, and because I've got a question for you, and that is the fact that you've got two rookies on this team that are playing vital really vital roles on the success. Offensive line, left tackle, Eric Flowers. Yep. In that secondary, Landon Collins.
Yes.
Playing that safety role. Talk about college making the transition to the pros and hitting that wall, because the season is so different in the pros than it is in college, and why I feel, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, this is a great problem to have for a Giants team to have a bye week as the last week, because I think it will benefit the rookies more so than anyone else.
I think that this bye could not have come at a better time for this Giants team. Number one, it allows them to get more healthy than they've been throughout this entire year. To get Prince back, to get other players back healthy at this time is going to be huge for them to make this next six-game stretch the best that it can possibly be. Also, for these young players, you talked about the rookie wall. I faced it. I know every player I've been with faced it. Because at this time, your college season's dwindling. Then you have a month off to prepare for a bowl game. You have all that time to let your body heal up. But for this allows the rookies to have 1 week where they can heal up. They can take a deep breath, fresher breath there, and then know, okay, I've got a six-game schedule left to finish out this season and play the way that I know that I'm capable of. Also, what it does, it allows these players to get self-evaluation. That's what that bye week is for. All the coaches go through all the film. We're doing this well. We're not doing this well. You need, as an individual player, these are the things you're doing well. These are the things that we're going to focus on these next 6 weeks. It allows you to sit down, take a deep breath of fresh air, like I said, and it allows you to focus more not only on game plans, but what you need to do individually. Because when you're in the midst of a season, I mean, game after game, things are getting thrown at you. Now you're acclimated. Now you know what an NFL season feels like. Now you know what each week preparation, what you need to do, and especially what do you need to do moving forward here to be the best player you can be for this football team.
What did you do? Like, what did you do on the bye week?
I sat around on Saturday and Sunday, and I watched college football and NFL football and did nothing else.
Did you go anywhere?
No.
No,
I didn't go anywhere. I didn't want to jump on a plane. I didn't want to do any of that stuff. I wanted to sit in my basement, watch TV on the couch, and relax.
You have a man cave?
Yes. That's all I wanted to do, was spend my time in there, because, number one, you're a fan of football long before you were a player in the NFL. So it allows you to watch games and allows you to get that experience. But also, even though you're around football 24/7, you miss it. You miss being out on the field. You miss the excitement of what it's like getting dressed in the locker room. So that's the closest thing that you can. And it just allows you to relax for that little bit of time. But you know, for this team, you've got a six-game stretch left, and it's on you to come back fully prepared and fully ready to give it your all for these next 6 weeks.
Isn't that one of the most really fun things to do? You arrive to the stadium, you're there at least 2-3 hours before game time. You walk in the locker room, you put your stuff down, you take the field with a few of your teammates. You do a little sprint.
Yeah.
You do some sprints.
It's a
you
routine,
warm up,
yeah.
Right? Then you come back
you're
in the locker room.
You're looking at the program in your locker.
And then, like, who would clip your who was your pad clipper?
It wouldn't clip. I'd need equipment manager Ed Wagner and Ed Skiba to help me put on my jersey, because it was, you know, for offensive linemen, you're wearing a jersey that would fit a linebacker because you want it as tight as possible so you can't grab. So I'd have one of those guys trying to get me to squeeze like 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag.
So when I played, I didn't want my hair, you know, because hair is part of
it's part of the uniform.
So you
can't
grab it.
Yeah.
So my our starting corner, her name is Cynthia. So she kind of looked like J-Lo a little bit. So we called her CeeLo. So I would come in and she would plait my hair. She'd give me rows.
That's so funny.
So I'd have like four corner
like your routine.
Rows
it was
in my
like
hair
your routine.
So my hair wouldn't be flowing out my helmet. I mean, but it was just
the camaraderie.
And being there and getting ready for the game and the excitement and
nothing
the
like
nervous
it.
Energy and man, you
nothing
I miss
like,
it.
There's
you
nothing
miss it.
Like
Come
it.
On, that's you, a, miss
I,
that.
I absolutely
you miss
do.
That.
I absolutely do.
I miss
that. You miss that feeling. You
I
miss
do.
Going to war with the guys next to you. Absolutely. You miss the violence. I used to love it. But
I can't say that. I don't miss the violence. But I miss the team camaraderie. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joseph calling in from Virginia. Joseph, welcome in.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Great.
Great.
So I got one question. What do you all think about Hakeem Nicks? Do you guys see him having a big impact?
Joseph, have you been listening?
I know. Joseph, are you just tuning up to the show right now?
You're about the fourth caller.
I know. This is like Hakeem Nicks is like the topic of choice today.
I just got off work like at 12:30. And
who told you to go to work when we're doing this show, Joseph? Now, you know, we were saying, but
Joseph,
thanks for the phone call. Happy Thanksgiving. But Joseph, what we were saying is it's, you know, obviously they brought him here for a reason to help take bracket coverage off of Odell Beckham Jr. to add another threat to the dimension of this offense. Somebody that Eli Manning's confident in as a football player. He could be a red zone threat. He can identify defenses and coverages, find where to sit in a pocket and a hole in a coverage to make big plays. But we said this is his opportunity, and it could be his last opportunity in the NFL to show who he is as a player. And it's all going to come down to him, number one, understanding and getting a grasp of this offense, and two, production, showing that he's still a football player in the NFL.
Let's go to Steven. Steven's calling in from Florida. Hey. Steven, sorry, I didn't know you had another question.
No, I was just calling in regards. I was listening to what y'all were saying. Having his bye week in the middle of the season is a good thing, and what you said about the man cave is awesome, because some of these guys do need to take time, you know, like getting pounded with the rookies and everything. It makes a good sense of refreshment, I would say, you know?
It definitely does.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I was just saying, the question is, I like the statement. I mean, I think these guys do need to rekindle on this bye week that we just had, because Washington, that's a sleeper team, and everybody, you know, even though we're going through weird first place, they're only a point game behind us. So we really, my question is, how you feel about the defense more so than anything with all the injuries?
Right. I mean, that's the biggest thing that moving forward, that it's going to rely on this defense and the ability to stop the run and put the game in Kirk Cousins' hands. I think that's the big thing. And it's going to be with JT Thomas back, getting Prince back. But in the back end, like I said, it's about communication, and it's about making sure that there aren't any broken coverages, there aren't any communication areas where people are looking, and getting off the field on third down. Get off the field. Give your offense another opportunity. When it comes down to the defensive line, creating more pressure, getting different things to put teams in third and long to create more turnovers. You know, they have 10 now, but there definitely is more possibilities for them to make more plays down the stretch if you're able to apply that pressure to quarterbacks. And it doesn't matter whether you're Tom Brady or a rookie. It affects them all the same way.
I have a question, and then we're going to take one more call before we sign off for the day.
Give me the question.
Tom Coughlin, 7-4 post bye weeks. What makes him so successful?
Preparation. Going into a football game, there is not a stone unturned in regards to what could possibly take place, how to respond to it, and it allows you to react and not think. And that's the biggest thing, that you always know day in and day out you're going to get the same coach. He's going to bring the same amount of energy. He is going to expect the utmost out of you as an individual football player. And the other thing, transparency, good, bad, and different. As a man, you know exactly where you stand with Coach Coughlin, and you wouldn't want it any other way.
All right, Vito, you're up. You've got to end this program strong.
Hey, guys. How you doing, guys?
You got to bring it. You got to bring it, Vito. You're the last one.
Besides, of course, David Dio was Ahmad Bradshaw.
Oh.
And I'm happy to see that he's at least doing something with the Colts, even though he's a backup and he doesn't get too much play. But I love
he scored two touchdowns last.
He's a
Vito.
Vito. And I was hoping that the Giants would have picked
Vito's
him up.
Vito's rolling. He's
I
not
know.
Even
Vito, he scored two touchdowns last week. Did you know that? I don't know if Vito can hear us. Vito, can you hear us?
I guess he can't hear us.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's not a good way to
Happy Thanksgiving, Vito.
That's not a good way
but
to
But I
show.
Always said, if I was going into a fight, pound for pound, I wouldn't want anybody else next to me than Ahmad
Bradshaw.
No question.
Absolutely. I miss him in this locker room.
I know. He was such a tough competitor. Tough.
So
dude.
Tough.
Oh, I love
so,
him.
So, so tough.
Love blocking for him.
So tough. Love the way he ran with the football.
Oh, yeah.
So fun to watch.
He was.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, wishing you and your family a fantastic
You as well, Anita. Good
fantastic.
Luck from 1 to 4 tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm heading down to Philly tonight. Going to go out in Philadelphia. You know, that tonight is a fun night to go out, the night before Thanksgiving, right?
I'll be at home.
And then I'm going to be at a home with a remote device, and I'll be hosting from 1 to 4.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'm sure, like, in between the breaks, like, people will be stopping in, like, with food and adult beverage. I'm really going to have to, like, be like, I can't. I'm going to really have to.
My daughter.
It's going to be tough for me.
My daughter, her birthday is December 27th, Christmas coming up.
Oh, wow.
So her and I are going to, we went out and got all the stuff to make gingerbread houses tonight. I'm going to have to get my arts and crafts skills up, I am not good at.
You are adorable.
So that's what my plan is for tonight with my daughter.
Well, again, so from all of us here at the Giants, wishing everybody out there a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. Please be safe. Enjoy your football. Again, really excited that you have both Philadelphia and the Dallas Cowboys playing on Thursday, so you have a really, really good idea going into that game against the Washington Redskins, how crucial it will be for both those teams, and hopefully the Giants walk away victorious. Yep. So you have a great holiday. Everybody out there,
have
a great holiday.
Everybody.
From
Thanks
all of us
listening.
Here at the Giants.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.